His thoughts were chaotic, but cold. Escape. Keep moving, and get as far away from this pest hole as possible. Ryan just reached the end of the alleyway when the door slammed open and a detonation shook the entire building. Waves of chem flame washed out of the doorway and from the windows, the heady blast rattling the wooden fence and setting it ablaze. Then the ancient partition fell apart, simply too old and weathered to withstand a raging thermite explosion. Ryan ran to rejoin the others, the heat rising steadily from behind. The thermite had gone off 2 seconds early. He'd have to remember that in case the others malfunctioned as well. Turning the corner, Ryan drank in the cool, fresh air as the light and heat continued to intensify from the burning store behind. As Ryan reached the sidewalk, a sticky appeared and thrust a wooden spear at him. Dodging out of the way, Ryan managed to fire the Stire and cut the meaty down. Then another spear flew by him, the wooden shaft flashing past his good eye. Astonished, Ryan turned to see more armed stickies advancing around the burning building. They had come at him from two different directions in a flanking maneuver. The stickies were hunting him instead of the other way around. Normally, they loved fire and would always rush to investigate something ablaze before going after a person. But not these bastards. Working the bolt action as fast as possible, Ryan blew away the closest sticky and charged out of the alleyway just as Jack and Christy appeared, tossing grins. Ryan was almost across the street when the charges detonated. When he heard the whistle, Ryan changed course to head for JB, standing on the next corner. The armorer was pulling something from his munitions bag, and when Ryan saw what it was, he redoubled his speed to streak right past the man in a desperate attempt to gain some needed distance. This was going to be close. Ripping off the safety tape, JB yanked the arming pin and flipped the lever, then threw the Gren straight at the window of the corner store. It smashed through the snowy pane and disappeared inside. Pivoting on a heel, JB grabbed his hat and started sprinting after the other companions. Down the block, they had taken secure positions behind a rusted police car and were all aiming blasters in his direction. The mob of stickies had arrived and started up the street. Counting under his breath, JB reached 10 and dove for the sidewalk. When Ryan and the others saw that, they needed no further prompting and did the same, hugging the concrete as if their very lives depended on it. Reaching the corner store, the stickies paused to look inside as if suspecting a trap and were enveloped in a bright flash of light. A hard wind swept the intersection as half of the five-story building vanished, compacted into a black lump by the irresistible force of the Implogren. The remaining walls cracked and the rest of the structure tumbled into the street. The two stickies still standing looked horrified as the falling debris of the building engulfed them completely, and the last vestiges of the armed mob disappeared from view, buried under the crumbling tonnage of stone, bricks, and bent steel. As the dust clouds from the destruction spread down the empty streets, the companions rose shakily to their feet and breathed a collective sigh of relief. Then the friends looked skyward to see additional stickies on the roof of a movie theater.
Shit fire! The town is infested with them!
Ryan blasted away with a Stire. Christy and JB were right behind with their own weapons, spent brass arcing through the air. But then, a fireball of gargantuan size arched upward to crash onto the theater in a blazing torrent. Burning stickies flew off the roof to land in the streets, the lumps of smoking flesh twitching before finally going still.
By the three Kennedys!
Swinging around their weapons, the companions braced for a fight. But these muties were facing down the side street and ignoring the armed companions. Seizing the moment, the friends backed away to gain more combat room while they reloaded with frantic haste. The stickies waved their clubs and one threw a spear. It went out of sight around the corner. A moment later, a huge lumbering wag rolled into view. The vehicle was a pre-dark bus, covered with sheets of corrugated metal. A grillwork of thick bars protected every window, and a dozen armed men stood on the roof, protected by a low sandbag wall, a crude iron pipe railing holding the stop barrier in place. A plume of dark smoke rose from behind the sandbags, but none of the men seemed concerned, so Ryan guessed whatever they were burning had something to do with the fireball launched earlier. Probably a catapult. But the stickies went crazy at the sight of the lumbering wag and insanely charged the vehicle. One mutie went under the spiked tires, torn apart even as it was crushed flat. Another sticky leapt onto the grillwork covering the driver's side window, and a scatter gun roared from inside the wag, the fiery discharge cutting the mottled creature in two. As the creature's legs fell off, its upper torso reached inside the wag.
The enemy of my enemy.
Ryan finished the ancient quote with a blast from the Stire. A sticky on the sidewalk had its head removed, the body walking onward for a full yard before toppling over dead. Slamming the rusted wrecks of Fedar cars out of its way, the driverless juggernaut careened along the street, the man behind the wheel beating at the inhuman hand, still attached to his bleeding face. Jumping the curb, the bus knocked over a lamppost, and the man went flying off the roof to hit the asphalt with a sickening crunch of bones. As the stickies converged on the unconscious man, the companions peppered the hated creatures with their blasters, the MP5 rapid fires hosing the foul muties with high-velocity lead. Inside the wag, a large man with skin as dark as Mildred's pulled a hand cannon and killed the driver with one expert shot. Yanking the body out from behind the steering wheel, the newcomer took over the dead man's place and fought to bring the careening wag under control. Directing the wag back into the street, the driver slammed on the brakes. The rampaging wag shuddered to a stop, rocking back and forth for a few moments before coming to a complete halt in the middle of an intersection. The men on top rushed to the sandbag wall and sent a flight of arrows from homie crossbows into the wave of stickies. Hit twice, one of the humanoid creatures leapt on top of a mailbox and hurled a club. Notching a fresh arrow into his crossbow, a man got smashed in the temple with a flying cudgel, and his head cracked open wide. The man dropped out of sight behind the bags, and two other men spun around to lower their crossbows and mercifully kill their mutilated comrade. The sticky on the mailbox waved his arms in victory. Then a man on the roof of the wag threw down a liquid-filled glass bottle with a burning rag tied around the neck. The crude Molotov shattered on the mailbox, the oily contents erupting into thick flames. Covered with fire, the sticky fell backward off the mailbox and started blindly running about, waving its sucker-covered hands. At a full rush, the thing slammed into a store window, shattering the century-old pane of glass and cutting itself. As it fell, the men on the wag feathered the smoking corpse with a dozen additional arrows, purely for the sake of revenge. Another sticky dropped its club to run at the wag and threw itself onto the side. The mutie stayed there for a moment as fresh gelatinous ooze poured from its multiple suckers. Then the creature began to climb up the smooth metal. Aiming carefully, Mildred put a pair of 9mm rounds into its head. Then Ryan blew off an arm, stopping its ascent. Behind the steering wheel, the big black man stared at the companions in puzzlement as he hastily reloaded his own black powder hand cannon. Meanwhile, a pair of stickies leapt onto the iron grill of the wag and started beating the bars with their clubs. The driver shot one with his blaster, then a man on top fired an arrow downward into the top of the sticky, the barbed end coming out between its legs. Gushing blood, the beauty went limp and dropped to the ground, twitching as if struck by lightning. Pivoting fast, another man fired an arrow at the other sticky, but the shaft went completely through the creature with no apparent effect. Reaching out, the sticky grabbed its new victim by the throat. Startled, the man tried to pull away while he fumbled for a knife. Suddenly, the arm of the sticky was blown off at the elbow. Smoke poured from the barrel of the .44 caliber Ruger hand cannon, and Doc broke open the exhausted blaster and started reloading with fresh brass shells from the pocket of his frock coat. Startled at first, the rest of the newcomers seemed to finally see the companions and cheered at the unexpected support. Only now, even more stickies jumped onto the vehicle and started moving for the men like ghastly spiders. With judiciously placed rounds, Ryan and the companions started picking off the things while the men pulled the sopping rag fuses from the Molotov cocktails and simply poured the oily contents onto the crawling stickies. Then the rags were lit and dropped onto the sodden attackers. Bleeding and set ablaze, the remaining stickies finally jumped off the vehicle and started limping down the street in an effort to escape from their human tormentors.
No survivors! Kill every one of the rat-stinking freaks!
As the armored vehicle banked into a turn, the men on top started to rain additional Molotov cocktails upon the street, creating a wall of flames. Blocked in that direction, the wounded stickies dashed into a nearby alleyway, only to stop as they reached a dead end, a brick wall 20 feet high. As they turned to leave, the armored wag angled into the mouth of the alley, the sides scraping along the cinder block walls and throwing off sprays of bright sparks.
Kill them all! No survivors!
Unable to zero in on the stickies anymore with the wag in the way, the companions took this opportunity to reload. Hopelessly trapped, the terrified muties started to climb the brick walls in a desperate effort to escape. The snarling men shot them with arrows until the feathered corpses dropped to the pre-dark asphalt. Then, more Molotovs were unleashed. Black smoke rose from the twitching inhuman forms, but not satisfied, the driver rolled the wag all the way into the alley, crushing the burning bodies underneath the spiked tires. Reaching the end, the driver shifted the gears and backed out, then rolled back in again, before finally retreating into the war-torn street. Stopping in the middle of the intersection, the driver set the brake and killed the rumbling engine. Pulling a lever, he threw open the side door. In tight battle formation, a grim group of men exited the vehicle armed with axes and went into the gory alley to make sure each and every one of the crackling stickies was dead.
Blood for blood.
Turning from the site of the slaughter, Ryan saw the driver step off the machine and start to approach them. He was bigger than Ryan, taller by almost a full 5 inches. His hair was close-cropped, too short for an opponent to grab, and his face was covered with small scars. His boots were the pebbled hide of a desert lizard, and he was wearing the ancient blue uniform of a civvy police officer, although now there was a screaming eagle embroidered where the badge had once been located. A military gun belt rode low around his waist, the big bore revolver shiny with oil, the ammo pouched heavy with powder and shot for the black powder weapon. Studying the array of scars, Mildred recognized the marks as second-degree burns that had been poorly treated. The physician was willing to bet there was a lot of scarring among the sick men using the Molotov cocktails.
Blood for blood could mean a lot of things.
Ryan carefully rested his stire on his shoulder. His grip was loose, the barrel pointing away from the stranger, but Ryan kept his finger near the trigger. Just because the companions had helped take out the muties didn't mean the two groups were friendly yet. Even Cold Hearts would sometimes help people trapped by muties, then jack and ace them afterward. But as the trader always said, it was easier to make deals than bullets. It never hurt to talk first, especially if you had a grin in your pocket.
Is that so? Well, it means a truce here. You fight by our side against the Stickies, and no sick man can raise a hand against you until you break the Baron's law. You savvy?
Returning from the alleyway with bloody axes, the group of armed men started to gather behind the driver. They watched the companions with interested expressions, but the axes stayed tight in their grips, ready for fast action if it was deemed necessary. Ryan clicked the safety on the long blaster.
Aye, savvy. Blood for blood.
The mob of Sekmen visibly relaxed.
The name is Sterling. Stephen Sterling, Sek Chief for Tucsonville.
Ryan nodded at that. Tucson, made sense. There followed a brief round of introductions, during which Sterling looked hard at Jack, then shrugged as if accepting that the albino was just a pale norm, and not a mutie.
Hell of a war wag you got there.
JB went over to the machine. This close, he could see that the strips of armor were actually the louvered gates taken from the pre-dark stores. The LAV could have driven through the armored bus without slowing down, but the bus would be a juggernaut against Mercy's and civvy wags. The grizzled sec chief puffed out his chest in pride. Adjusting his glasses, JB saw there was a red and white stripe sewn on the shoulder of the man's police uniform. The other sec man had only a white stripe there, while Sterling had a blue one as well. Badges of rank for sec men? Interesting. Hadn't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, she does the job. Aced a lot of stickies with the Metro.
That's a good name.
Thanks.
I'm just glad that we could help. There are a few people I'd let Stickies get a hold of alive.
Well, I know a few. Fragging things have chilled more of my men with their clubs and spears than I want to remember. Shit, it's like they're getting smarter every nuking month.
Yeah, about that.
Lieutenant Chang, who was hurt?
It's Daniel, sir.
Is he burned badly?
No, sir. A Sticky touched him on the neck.
He pointed at Doc.
This wrinkly blew off the stinking mutie's arm. But the hand is still attached, and well...
The suckers are leeching out his blood.
Yes, sir.
Pulling out his blaster, the sec chief opened the chamber of the revolver and checked the load. Closing it, he cocked back the hammer.
Okay. I'll do it myself. A blaster is a lot faster than slitting his throat.
Mildred hugged her medkit.
No, wait! I'm a healer. Maybe I can save his life.
Can you now? Well, I'll be nuked if I can figure out any way you can make him worse. What's your price?
Sterling turned to face Ryan.
Or do I talk to you?
Mildred is in charge of healing.
And you're in charge of the chilling. Yeah, I can see that. Fair enough.
He turned back to Mildred.
Okay, healer. What do you want for saving it? If you can, that is.
A week's food and bed in your ville.
Mildred tried not to show her annoyance,
These days, nobody did something for free, unless it was to rob you afterward. If she didn't ask for payment, they'd never allow her near the wounded man. Rubbing his jaw, the sect chief Sterling chewed that over for a minute.
Done. All right, let's get moving.
Passing her MP5 to Doc, Mildred clambered up the steps and entered the bus. With slow and steady moves, Doc checked the safety on the rapid fire, then cradled it in his arms, letting it stay in view as a warning, but deliberately keeping his finger off the trigger.
Einstein, Carstairs, Clay, check our fallen and make sure they're chilled. Call out if anybody is still sucking air.
Yes, sir. Should we bury the bodies here or...
Burn them. The Stickies would only dig them up later, and we ain't gonna feed them our dead.
Yes, sir.
Be sure to save the boots and blasters. Those don't grow on trees, you know.
Gathering a clinking sack of Molotov cocktails, the three sec men hurried off to their grisly task. Sterling then turned toward the waiting companions.
Now, about you folks. How the frag did you get so deep into the zone without horses or a wag? Or is it broke someplace?